88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
Look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's something some people probably don't like, the haka, and the guy always enjoyed it. I enjoyed the haka, and I used to love it as a kid growing up. I used to love watching it, and just it was intriguing for me.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
All right, happy hump day, everybody. Wednesday's paper's coming your way in 5 minutes' time. James Tracy's going to join us in studio to parse through the final embers of last weekend and, you know, try and get us up for Friday night when we're playing Argentina. We'll also speak with Juan Fernandez Martin Lobe, who is the lineup coach for Argentina. He's going to join us live at 8:30 this morning. And Nathan Murphy has been embedded with the Republic of Ireland football team, hanging out with some of our future stars. Andrew Moran was doing press this week. Says if he has half as good a career as Wes, he'll be happy. I think he could have half as good a career as Wes. Obviously, time will tell, but he seems to have his head screwed on. Seems like a great fella. And so we'll be talking to him. Will I briefly run you through the newspapers before I say hello to everybody? Or will I just say hello, Colin? How are you?
If it was me, I'd say hello first. All right. Then I'd do the papers.
Okay.
But you've already decided to do the papers.
Trolls target Keane after cap presentation. So there's a picture of Robbie Keane giving the caps. There's an annual cap handing out ceremony that the FAI do. Mm-hmm. And Philip Quinn has this story in the back of the Mail. Record goal scorer Robbie Keane was subjected to a barrage of vicious abuse on social media yesterday after the FAI posted photos of the Irish legend presenting caps to the current Ireland players. An avalanche of flack from online trolls furious at his decision to continue as Maccabi Tel Aviv manager after the Hamas-Israel conflict erupted in October 2023. Obviously, you've seen their fans rampaging around Europe during the week. And the FAI posted yesterday, "Great to have Ireland's record goal scorer Robbie Keane in camp last night for our annual caps presentation." Mm-hmm. And then the feedback underneath was...
It's mostly about his time as Maccabi Tel Aviv manager, which went well, but it's completely irrelevant for people. They won the Israeli league title and he got to the last 16 in Europe, but it didn't matter because of what he said. When he was asked about the war initially, he was like, "I'm a football man, I'm here to play, to manage a football team." And then he resigns and people are furious over it. My suspicion would be, say Damien Duff took a job in Israel, just as an example, right? If he did, now you could argue straight away, Jer, he'd never be stupid enough.
He'd never be stupid enough to take it in
the first place. But just bear me out, right? And he does it.
So don't name it. Don't personalize it.
There's no sense. Like you look at Joey O'Brien.
We can't imagine that happening.
You know,
it's so off. Yeah,
of course.
So famous Irish footballer X.
Irish footballer, whatever, whoever you want, right?
Someone popular.
Take it, right? Someone popular. It would be seen as, that's an awful misstep. Terribly out of character. And I think going back to the Robbie Keane thing, it was like, well, this is very egregious, much more serious than anything else, but a kind of litany of the perception that the Irish public have towards Robbie Keane. You go back, you know, he was still on the pay book, wasn't he? And when Stephen Kenny came in, didn't want him involved, and he was still taking that money. People said, why didn't Robbie Keane go to a cash-strapped FAI and said, look, stop paying me because he can't really afford it? And he didn't. And then I think there's in a much more trivial sense now compared to what I just said, on the pitch as a striker, he was seen as being quite selfish. He would kind of widely gesticulate to his teammates and to the officials if something wasn't going for him, and was seen as being kind of goal obsessed and fairly selfish. But he's the all-time record goal scorer, like 146 caps, and his goal scoring record for Ireland probably won't be beaten, almost certainly won't be in our lifetime. It's just interesting that a historically successful player for the national side is seen as a just overall fairly unpopular, unlikable figure.
Yeah. There's not a lot of love out there. I think the... I don't know. There are probably aren't a million people you can get to hand out the caps. Maybe the FAI needed to wait a while for people to move on from Robbie. Maybe they're never going to move on from Robbie's decision to go to Israel, but he did make his decision to go there. He did take that job, and I'm sure there are other places in the world that he could have taken a job, and he obviously did what he felt was best for his managerial career.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody in Irish sport would really forget about that at any point. I think that that's something that is going to be part of Robbie's CV forever.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the record of complaining about the lack of opportunity for British and Irish coaches. And, you know, the retort could be, well, certainly you definitely use Damien Duff in this instance to be like, why don't you go home and try and get a job in the League of Ireland or try and get involved in the coaching setup? And again, I think the perception is that Robbie Keane would feel he's too big for that.
Yep, it's hard to know. It is very hard to know. It is interesting to get to the root cause of it, because he was so important for so long. Like, if you think that post Roy Keane, I suppose when he's got, say from 2002, I know he comes back, but that post Roy Keane up until he retires, I mean, Robbie's pretty much the one thing we can't do without, in terms of between him, I suppose, and Shea Given for a long time. That you're like, that's the best hope of getting anything was him. So it's interesting, but I don't know. I've always kind of, there's always been a sort of impression that he's quite individualistic, wrong, but focused on himself, in terms of even down to the celebration, where it's a very big showcase of
very non-Irish.
I'm here,
James Lowe celebrating.
No, it's not that. It's just it's an interesting thing to have even as a footballer in England. It sets you apart in a sort of way that's an interesting choice, that you are set apart. This is my thing. I've scored. We've scored, but I have scored, and I will celebrate this, and you will notice me, and I'm going to stand apart as an individual, separate entity for those few seconds after, so you know I did this.
Is that the way you're talking about it, right? You're saying it's an interesting thing. The implication is that it's an interesting thing and it's bad, right? And
it's an individualistic outlook. I'm not necessarily criticising it, but I think Robbie Keane's always done what's best for Robbie Keane.
Criticism is implicit, right? Criticism is implicit.
Well, it's not to my taste, but it's not necessarily criticism.
Well, not liking something generally would suggest that it's critical. I think that, like, the world takes all sorts, and if whoever, like, so coming away from the Olympics, we lauded all the individuals who said, I'm out here to try and win, and I actually believe I'm genuinely world class. And in its own inarticulate way, the tumble and the bow and arrow, I think, is exactly the same thing. It's just a different manifestation of it. And I think that, Robbie's inarticulacy, his refusal to do interviews early in his career, led to a lot of the kind of, well, do we really know this guy? What's he like? Are we sure we like him? And if he was coming up now, he'd have handlers who would stage manage several different PR opportunities. He'd be on social media. You get to know him a bit more. Somebody would help him to wind in any of the issues that maybe might lead to negative press, and there'd be a different perception of him. And also, you've got to bear in mind that he's coming from Tala to superstardom immediately. Like, he went from being a 15-year-old who nobody in the country knew about to a 17-year-old that the whole country's hopes were entirely based on. And he's navigated that, you would say, sometimes well and sometimes poorly. And I think that he's probably held to a very high standard. At the same time, the decision to go to Israel is something that will haunt his legacy from an Irish sports perspective forever. There's loads of places where he'll be lauded for it, and there'll be loads of places where it's like, yeah, you did the right thing. But just amongst Irish people, the majority of Irish people are on the Joey O'Brien side of this, and thought that Bo's decision to host the Women's International was absolutely amazing and powerful. They thought that managers going over there and managing football teams was the wrong decision at the time. So I think it's complicated.
It is. But is it not suggestive of an inwardness? A refusal to let the circumstances of the outside world influence your decision? Because war aside, I don't think it would have, like, it wouldn't.
But before the war broke up, people were...
It still would have been problematic.
It was. And at his opening press conference, he gave a very wishy-washy answer about, like, oh, I'm a football manager, not here to talk about politics, and I'll never talk about politics again. It's like, well, that's not really how life works. Of course, politics impinges. But I think that, I think even if that he hadn't gone to Israel, there would have been negativity on that post. I think that...
That's my first point.
Robbie never crossed over into universally beloved. Although you go to the Ireland games and there's only one keynote, and they're not chatting about Roy for the decade afterwards, because there's still people there going, Roy Keane was that right? Or what about that cap? That chant still does the rounds.
I don't know. Or like I remember it was that Steve Staunton's last game, the last minute winner against, was that San Marino? Was it the 2-1? Do you remember that in Dublin? Was it when we were playing in Croke Park?
Oh, the manager. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And Robbie was playing that night. And I remember distinctly like the visceral reaction he was getting, the supporters in my vicinity of Croke Park that night. It was Robbie Keane. He was getting it the most out of everyone. And that was when there was only one Keane in the team. Like, people weren't having him at all. And this is when he was flying it with Spurs. Like, it's amazing. Like, Robbie Keane moved so many times in his career that it's a good, fun pub game to play and name all his transfers. But he had 6 uninterrupted years the first time round at Tottenham. And this is towards the end of that. So look, the Israel thing is in its own category to hold against him, right? But, and the reason we're talking about this, in case people are wondering, is I just look at the reaction on Ireland Football X account, the FAI account, and the picture collage of him from yesterday, and just look at all the replies. And that's why we're bringing this up, because it goes back to the popularity thing, right? There's been no great striker in the history of football who isn't selfish. No one. You won't be a great striker otherwise. If you're not selfish, right?
There's ways and means of doing that. That's not, there's, you know, Wayne Rooney was England's top goal scorer for a long time. He's fairly, club allegiances aside, fairly universally beloved in terms of the player he was. And it's not like everyone should be everything, but like, so Wayne Rooney,
when he was playing Arthur, not
he was. He was, no, by the fans, by fans of the teams he supported.
Oh no, there was a lot of United fans weren't having him at times. A lot of England fans. Remember when he said the Algeria game at the 2010 World
Cup? That's nonsense.
Nice to
Man United thing is not true. That's absolutely not true.
Reaction to Rooney.
That's 100%. Not true.
But I think with Rooney, there was always a perception that he didn't fulfill his potential because his lifestyle prevented him from doing so as well. Like, and the universally beloved thing is definitely post-retirement, everybody goes, well, you know, again, incredible circumstances, 15-year-old thrust into the global limelight, struggled with it a lot. It turns out afterwards was like riven with anxiety and eating problems and all sorts. Like,
we drink to excess, he said, yeah.
I think though that Rooney definitely had more residual love from casual fans and certainly England fans.
But he was more of a team player for sure. Like, I mean, his work rate.
But that's what I'm saying. But you're saying, you're talking about selfishness.
Yeah, but selfishness is like, there's also Rooney coming back into the England camp when he's injured early on in his time in the senior team, saying the big man is back. Like, there was a selfishness to him.
Of course there was.
Of course there was. I'm saying my point is the selfishness isn't a bad thing. Like, I would commend the striker like that.
I think it doesn't always necessarily make you favourable depending on how you present it.
No, it's true.
There's definitely, you can talk about selfishness, but like, Ruben Nistelrooy was selfish. Mm-hmm. But Ruben Nistelrooy's adored. Absolutely adored.
Okay. Give us your thoughts. 0879-180-180 is the WhatsApp number. Are you all familiar with Taylor Harwood-Bellis?
Yeah. Southampton, is it?
Southampton and future son-in-law of Roy Keane.
No way.
Did you know this? So he got called up to the England squad yesterday by the soon-to-be former England interim manager, Lee Carsley. And he is engaged to Leah Keane, Roy's daughter. And so it'll be an interesting little wrinkle to the Ireland-England game when the camera pans to Roy Keane if he comes off the bench.
Will this be the most forgettable England camp in history from their perspective?
England, yeah.
It's completely irrelevant what happens the next two games.
What was the score when they beat us in Wembley? That was a 4-0, it was a 3-0.
An absolute trouncing of a 3-0.
Yeah.